My name is Emily Hines, and I attend Houston City Council meetings, and I take notes, and then I share those notes with you. Today's notes are from the council meeting on June 12th, 2024. This week was budget week, so it was a long meeting. I split the notes in two, so this episode covers all things budget. If you're looking for non-budget stuff, like the talk on the firefighters deal, that's in the previous episode. All right, so let's get started on the budget. Houston's fiscal year lasts July through June, and the budget is named for the end year of the fiscal season. So we're getting ready for fiscal year 2025, in short, often called FY25. The annual budget funds every department, like solid waste and public works, police and fire, and many of their programs. Funding for the budget includes tax dollars, state and federal money, investment returns, and more. 11 council members proposed amendments to the budget. And as I'm going over them, you might wonder what many of these amendments have to do with the budget, and the answer is absolutely nothing. The budget amendment process is just one of the very few ways councilmembers can exert influence, so some of them choose to do so. I'm going to go over a selection of the proposed budget amendments, especially ones that had some discussion. So first up is Councilmember Ramirez for At-Large 1. He proposed three amendments. The first one wanted to add an additional HPD cadet class going from 5 to 6, which he said could be paid for with funds saved from the cancellation of ShotSpotter and also from asset forfeiture funds. The administration, aka Mayor Whitmire, supported this amendment. Councilmember Pollard doesn't want to add another cadet class when the current ones aren't even full and thinks the one-time ShotSpotter savings are not a good solution for a permanent extra class. Pollard vowed to vote no on any amendment pulling from the general fund. This amendment did pass. Councilmembers Tollard and I comboed Thomas and Pollard there. Councilmembers Thomas and Pollard voted no. Ramirez's second proposed amendment involved the creation of a $35,000 language access coordinator, which would be funded by a coalition of council members, Council District Service Funds, or CDSF for short. The administration also supported this amendment. Councilmembers Castillo and Ramirez pledged financial support. Councilmember Plummer mentioned possible grant funding through a partnership with Orijuntos and Air Alliance Houston. Councilmember Davis said he would consider helping to fund if Ramirez also considered funding the Office of Veteran Affairs. I was a little confused about how that would work. This amendment did pass. Ramirez's third amendment proposed using his own CDS funds to close a funding gap at the Crisis Diversion Center, but he ended up withdrawing it. Councilmember Carter, At-Large 3, initially proposed five amendments but withdrew all of them except for one. Her fifth one proposed collaboration with the county to share library services and responsibilities. This amendment was withdrawn and referred to the Quality of Life Committee for more consideration. Several council members spoke in support and listed other areas that would be good candidates for similar collaboration, like the Parks Department and illegal dumping and animal welfare. Councilmember Plummer, At-Large 4, proposed using $899,000 from the general fund for the installation of a permanent generator at the Cashmere Gardens Multi-Service Center, which also serves as a neighborhood resiliency hub. Councilmember Jackson, the rep for Cashmere Gardens, supported this amendment. Mayor Whitmire and Councilmember Pollard both advocated for working with the private sector to get a mobile generator as a stopgap while seeking funding for permanent solutions that do not draw from the general fund. Councilmember Kamen suggested using the Capital Improvement Plan, or CIP. Plummer said the CIP process takes way too long for such an urgent need. Councilmember Thomas suggested other funding sources like community development block grants and CIP funding that are already earmarked for generators, and Plummer agreed that's a good idea, so she amended the proposal to allow funding besides the general fund. This amendment was granted. Councilmember Pollard voted no, as predicted, when he said he wouldn't vote for anything that draws from the general fund. Councilmember Alcorn, At-Large 5, proposed several things. Her first was to reduce paper and printing to save $261,000 annually. The administration supported it, and it passed. Councilmember Martinez suggested also implementing QR codes to reduce printing even more. Her second amendment proposed evaluating termination pay policy to investigate savings and inefficiencies. It was referred to the Budget and Fiscal Affairs Committee. Councilmember Kamen advocated for labor representation at whatever working group comes out of this. Alcorn's third amendment was co-authored with Councilmember Martinez. It looks to charge non-city entities who use the city's MWBE certification program. It was referred to Budget and Fiscal Affairs Committee for review as well. Alcorn's Fourth Amendment proposed hiring a consultant to investigate turning BARC into a local government corporation, sort of similar to the zoo. It was referred to the Service Delivery Committee and the Budget and Fiscal Affairs Committee. Councilmember Peck of District A proposed 11 amendments, the most of anyone. I think she does this every year. Her First Amendment proposed that all emergency purchase orders declare if the company is less than 1 year old. There was some kind of scandal going on recently that this addresses. I don't know. I didn't really Google it, but maybe you should. The administration supported this amendment and it passed. Her Second and Third Amendment both suggested strengthening the audit process at the controller's office. Mayor Whitmire did not support, even saying, quote, "No one wants an audit more than me," end quote, which is just a funny thing to be competitive about. Anyways, Peck withdrew both of those. Her fifth proposed efficiency studies that need to come back to council or committee for review. The administration supported it, and this amendment passed. This is a great example of an amendment that has nothing to do with the budget. PAC's sixth amendment would have required vacant positions get reapproved after 6 months. There has been general talk for a while now about the budget being inflated by funding held in reserve for vacant and perhaps no longer needed positions. Whitmire did not support this amendment and PAC withdrew it. Her seventh amendment proposed shared mowing duties across city departments, and it was referred to Government Operations Committee. Peck's 11th and final amendment would prohibit the use of tax dollars for the purchase of charity tables at events. There was a lot of discussion about this one. Councilmember Pollard argued that this amendment has nothing to do with the budget and should be an ordinance change. Peck did end up withdrawing it. Councilmember Kamen of District A proposed one amendment which would create an attorney position in the legal department to specialize in Prop A matters, using funding reserved already for a different vacant position. This amendment passed. Councilmember Jackson of District B proposed an amendment co-sponsored with Alcorn and Huffman that wants to use $8 million of the Dedicated Drainage and Street Renewal Fund, or the DDSRF, for local drainage program, which often deals with ditches. Councilmember Pollard said this is the only amendment for which he supports using general fund, especially because the money was promised last year and apparently was unused. Pollard thanked advocacy groups for staying on top of this. Councilmember Alcorn shared that infrastructure was the number one priority in her budget survey, which this amendment supports. She also thanked advocacy groups. Mayor Whitmire lamented that $8 million isn't nearly enough to address the problem and suggested a bond might be necessary in the future. He also subtly criticized former Public Works Director Haddock. Councilmember Kamen supported the amendment and thanked Northeast Action Collective by name for their advocacy. Councilmember Jackson thanked her colleagues for their support, as well as Northeast Action Collective and West Street Recovery for their advocacy. This amendment was approved. Councilmember Flickinger of District E proposed a few. I'm only going to go over one, his third, which proposed adapting the current city policy that requires a portion of capital spending projects to be spent on art. Councilmember Peck said public safety spending should be exempt from such auto spends because the money could be used for other and implied more important things. Councilmember Kamen cautioned against picking away at this hard-fought arts ordinance. She said, quote, "Public art creates public safety spaces as well," end quote. Councilmember Alcorn said, amongst other things, "Perhaps the places where people think we don't need art are the very places we need it the most," end quote. Councilmember Martinez said that art can be a symbol for community, like the many murals in the East End, which also drive economic development. This whole conversation ended up being a pretty interesting dialogue on art. The amendment was sent to the Arts and Culture Committee for review. Councilmember Huffman of District G proposed using $871,000 from the general fund for cadet pay incentives for the police department, which were previously funded through ARPA, and that money is going away. Councilmembers Alcorn, Ramirez, Pollard, and Finance Director Dubowski all discussed vacancies in HPD, money that could be used for other things within HPD. They definitely were not talking about moving money from HPD to other departments. This item was referred to the Public Safety Committee. Her third amendment proposed increasing funding for the program that hires retired police officers in part-time roles. It was also referred to the Public Safety Committee. Her sixth amendment proposed some city-led mosquito control. She withdrew this amendment as Mayor Whitmire plans to collaborate with the county's mosquito control program, but she did mention that there was a confirmed case of West Nile in District G recently. Her Seventh Amendment had something to do with cutting spending on travel for training purposes. The feed was really bad for the whole meeting, and it was especially bad during this section. This amendment passed, whatever it was. Councilmembers Thomas, Pollard, and Jackson voted no. Councilmember Castillo of District H proposed using $350,000 from the general fund to pay for professional help at BARC. This help was previously paid for with ARPA funds, which are going away. Councilmember Pollard voted no, but the amendment still passed. Castillo's fourth proposed amendment was to exempt city vehicles from having to pay parking meters. This was referred to the Government Operations Committee. All right, next is Councilmember Martinez. He proposed a bunch of solid waste stuff, which I particularly appreciated. The first was a one-time fee for new developments to pay for refuse carts. It was referred to committee. The second proposed a monthly solid waste user fee, which was also referred to committees. The third proposed a review of the heavy waste schedule because he suggested that on-demand service could save money. He's apparently been surveying his constituents who might only use heavy trash pickup twice a year rather than every other week as it's scheduled now. This was also referred to the Budget and Fiscal Affairs Committee and the Service Delivery Committee. Councilmember Castix Tatum of District K proposed beefing up code enforcement with two amendments. They were both referred to the Department of Neighborhood Committee. And that's all the amendments I'm going to go over. Next, we'll briefly talk about the budget vote, which really didn't take much time at all, especially compared to all of these conversations around the amendment. But several people had some commentary. Councilmember Pollard appreciated the work and debate, but he said he could not support the current budget. He complained again that there are no new revenue sources and spending exceeds income. Councilmember Ramirez praised that there were no new fees or taxes. He wants to work with the state on alternative funding sources. Councilmember Martinez said an unbalanced budget is nothing new, especially with the revenue caps. Councilmember Kamen thanked Councilmember Alcorn and her staff for their work during budget season. She listed budget challenges like not enough HPD investigators, deferred maintenance, not enough ambulances, a potential $100 million drainage liability, damaged municipal courts, underfunded multi-service centers, parks, and so much more. She also complained about the revenue caps. Councilmember Flickringer wants to raise revenue in a, quote, straightforward manner, not with fees. He did say he's open to lifting the revenue caps, though. Mayor Whitmire also thanked Alcorn and her staff. He said there is no such thing as a perfect budget and criticized those who vote no, saying it's an easy thing to do. He emphasized, as always, the need to spend on public safety. He said this budget leaves the city with $87 million in reserve. And then there was a vote. The budget for FY25 passed. Only Councilmembers Thomas and Pollard voted no. And that concludes my notes on one of the longest meetings of the year. Actually, it's probably safe to say the longest. It was about 7 hours. Big, big props to everyone else who tuned in, showed up, and covered it. It's a really big deal, perhaps the biggest deal that we see from the city the whole year. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. That link is patreon.com/EmilyTakesNotes if anyone listening would like to join. Funds from that help keep this podcast happening. This podcast was recorded by and has music by Joe Wozni, and it was produced by Connor Clifton. That's it for this week. I'm Emily Hines, and I thank you for listening.